Title of this morning's message is Christian Concealed Carry. Suppose we're on a battlefield in 1864 in the American Civil War, and you've been assigned these 20 cannons that are stretched along kind of a rise hill, a long ridge. Behind you is the village, your families and such. And on this battlefield, you've got the artillery lined up and loaded and pointing to the enemy, which is about 300 yards out there behind stone walls and in trenches. Standing orders are hold this line at all costs. You can't let people get past you. And then they all come out of their trenches and from behind their walls and form a skirmish line, and here they start marching towards you. And you're manning the cannons, all 20 of them, and they keep coming, and you watch them, and they keep coming, and you watch them, and they keep coming, and you watch them. And now they're right up in front of you. Now they're beside you. Now they're past you. Without firing a shot. Does that make any sense at all? Would that be following orders as a soldier? No, you're all ready to go, and they come at you, and they go through you, and blow right through your line and past you. We wouldn't think that that would be a good soldier if that's where their position was. Now, Matthew 10:34, there's some verse there that's troubling to a lot of people. A lot of people don't like it. It's probably not preached on very much. Jesus says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And because they don't know how that fits in with everything they know about Jesus, it's like, well, that's an odd thing. Let's just avoid that. Let's just get rid of that little piece of information. Maybe he was having a bad day. That was a reference to the war of division among family members, not a reference to actual physical combat. He wasn't trying to get an army together, but that was a reference that families would even be divided due to Christianity, due to the Christ message. There would be families that would split over this, and so a war would happen, and peace would not be in those households any longer. In 1 Timothy 6:12, that's the classic verse that says, "Fight the good fight of faith." And of course, prophetically, Melissa spoke that out this morning. And that is so she could confirm the word this morning. Fight the good fight of faith. The Holy Spirit had already presented that up front here, that that's the message. And you go, "I don't want to fight. I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover, you know." Well, yeah, you ever seen lovers fight? Yeah. Two things we know, we're in a fight. And the second thing we know about this, what kind of fight is it? It's a good fight. Is there such a thing as a good fight? Apparently, it's for a good cause. There's only one thing that's good in the Bible. Jesus said, only God is good. So this God fight is we're in. I didn't ask to be drafted. Anybody here, baby boomer, got their draft notice and you just kind of cringed when it happened? I know many of you did, and some of you fought, and some of you followed through with that, and you realize that I'm in a fight. It wasn't my fight, but here I am, and now I'm involved. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 are probably some of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. These weapons that we have are not obvious to people around us. You can walk right by somebody and they have no idea that the power of God is residing in you, the full power of God residing in you and I. Excuse me. These weapons are the concealed carry that we have. People pass you all the time not realizing the very salvation life of God. They just walked right by it, just like they walked by Jesus and didn't know. How close can you get to the power and the life of God and not spot it? But that full power is resident in all of us, whether it's used or not. These weapons that are not obvious is concealed carry. There is no natural weapon, according to the verse, that we would have that is anything close to the power of God on the inside of us. So we are all a concealed carry. Even your children, who has the Holy Spirit of God inside of them, the life of God is in them. Romans chapter 7, Apostle Paul said, "For once I was alive before I became aware of right and wrong, the law, and sin living in me sprang to life and I died." He's not talking about a physical thing. He's talking about spiritual. He was saying, before I became aware of right and wrong, I was a live spirit being. Do you know that children do not have a little tiny Holy Spirit inside of them? The full Holy Spirit that filled Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that fills your children. The Holy Spirit isn't little tiny little figure like a little tiny doll-shaped thing inside of you. The Holy Spirit fills your entire being. And that's a full power. And it's concealed to people that won't see it. Do you ever run into anybody that, and you think, "I think they're a Christian"? Well, their concealed carry is shown, isn't it? How do you know that? Well, by the Spirit of God, you pick up on it pretty quick. We destroy arguments and every pretension, every pretend truth that sets itself up against God's knowledge and says, "No, no, no, I am the truth." And you look in the Word of God and there's a different truth. And you go, well, they both can't be true. One of them has to be a pretend truth. I know in working with addictions, people often let go of their chemical addictions and they'll switch over to fantasy addictions. The top three are gambling, pornography, and shopping. Well, you can't put shopping up with those. I didn't put it up there. But it can become a fantasy addiction. Fantasy. Fantasy is a fancy lie. And it's created like it's a real deal. And then people manage their lives around these fantasy addictions. It's a fancy lie. It's a pretension is a fantasy. It's not real, but it kind of, you look right at it and you think, well, that looks real to me. But compared to the Word of God, it's different. This war takes place within our head, the arguments that go on inside of yourself. We tear those down. It's not good living with an argument inside your head. Healing is for today. Healing is not for today. Well, yes, healing is for today. No, I don't think healing's for today. There's probably some exceptions. No, there's no exceptions. If you do it right and believe God, then it's for today. Until you resolve that argument in your head, you're not going to have any faith. You don't know what the will of God is. Faith begins where the will of God is known. We destroy these things. How do we do that? We destroy these arguments and pretension with words. But not just any words, with God words or with God's words. Romans 10:8 says, "Thy word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Back to the battlefield. If no words are said to stop the enemy's attacks, then no shots are fired and you're overrun. Thoughts form words, right? I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Thoughts form words, but spoken words are the words that count. Thoughts are inactive. Words are active. You can think a lot of things. Faith requires action. Speaking words is an action of faith. When somebody receives Jesus Christ in their salvation, they confess with their mouth, right? Why is that important? I think that's a little too far. God, you should just be able to accept whatever I'm thinking. After all, somewhere in the Bible it says it's the thought that counts. Yeah, where is that? Oh, yeah, I think it's a second hesitations. Is you'll find that verse. It is the thought that counts, you know? I was thinking of being nice to them. I was thinking of giving her a foot rub. I should get credit for that, right? It's the thought that counts, right? I was thinking of giving an offering. God, there, I got a reward in heaven. I was thinking about saying something nice to them. It's the thought that counts, right? I was thinking about getting saved. Tricky, because modern Christianity has become very intellectual, and they live inside their head, and they've lost track of what they speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak." Not speaking is the same as not firing a shot. Believers have concealed carry spiritual weapons that stay concealed if it stays in your thought life. I don't care if you have to go and get in your car and drive around the block. You need to learn how to speak things. Now, this creeps some Christians out. They don't want to be walking around the house with nobody home and saying things out loud. They're not used to it. People aren't used to it. Now, me, I am developing an ability to talk out loud when nobody's around. And I'm not looking about, well, what if somebody comes by or hears me or anything like that? I need to say things out loud. I need to say it so my steering wheel hears it. But we're so intellectual that we won't train ourselves to speak. When I go hunting by myself, I speak out loud. Why do you do that? Do you know how much faith it takes to say something out loud? Well, I don't want anybody to think that I'm talking to myself. You're not talking to yourself. I mean, you are, but your own ears need to hear what you're saying. You need that faith loop out here and in here and out here and in here. It'll reinforce it. But you're speaking into the spirit realm. You're speaking to God. You're also speaking to evil forces to stop their activities. You're speaking to a body part to come into line. Have you ever laid hands on yourself? Ever spoken to that out loud?
Well, I don't think that's necessary. You ought to just be able to have thoughts. It's the thought that counts.
It's not the thought that counts. It's the spoken word by faith that counts. And we've excused so much of our behavior because we think about God. We like God. God's great. The Bible's great. Jesus is wonderful. We think about it. I'm a Christian. This is good. I'm going to heaven. I'm thinking. And you're going, I wonder why things aren't working in my life like they're supposed to. Because the Word of God, you're not supposed to think yourself into heaven or think yourself into healing or think yourself. We believe and we speak. Talking out loud when no people are around, it does seem strange to people that never do it. At first, when they say it, it's weird. Now, when I grew up, other little boys had words that I'd never heard of. And I thought I could say those words. But I went out behind our barn and I started practicing swear words. I wanted to hear what they sounded like out loud. And so I didn't want anybody around and go behind the barn and all the words that I heard the other boys say, I'd say them out loud. That was weird. We didn't swear in our family at all. In fact, we were even banned from the word shut up. We were allowed to kind of say maybe be quiet, but we had a lot of banned words. So I went out behind the barn, and that was weird, trying to practice swear words out loud. And then if you're ever in the military, it's every third word. And then when you get out of the military, you need to make it every fourth word, then every sixth word, then every 12th word, then eventually try to work your way down to zero, right? But if we keep these at the thought level, nothing happens. And we're thinking, I don't understand. I don't understand. Isn't this supposed to work? What have you been saying? Because you've been thinking. Well, that should count. God, I'm telling you that you should count this. After he told us, I'm telling you that you should say this. Who tells God? He tells us, and we're going to reverse that and tell him back. It's the thought that counts, remember. It's the word spoken by faith that counts. And until we start practicing saying what we believe, it'll be weird at first. Weird at first. You're not used to hearing your own voice spoken when another person's in front of you. It's a little bit uncomfortable. Part of you is saying, is this okay? Do you know that your faith has to go up another level to get to the point of saying what you're thinking? Another level. What was that verse in the Old Testament about keeping the words in your mouth? What was that verse? Shelley always preaches it at Faith and Healing School. It was something about always keeping the words, huh? Never letting them depart from your mouth. And you'll see it says right in the Bible, never let the words depart from your mouth. That's not what it means in Hebrews. It means never have your mouth stop talking. Never have a point in time where your mouth is open and nothing's coming out. What it means in Hebrew is don't allow your mouth to ever be silent. Don't allow the words to depart where they're not there. not allowing the words to depart from your mouth technically means always have words coming out. Because if your words have departed, that means you're silent, and then God can do nothing. He seeks his word to perform it, not your thoughts. And so, not saying is the same as, you know, a cannonball that is never fired just sits there. What's the point? What's the point? What if you bought your kid a $50 package of fireworks for 4th of July and you brought them home and you go, look it! Isn't this great? This is so cool. Look at all the colors. Look at all the saran wrap and everything. We're going to keep them in the package just like this. How exciting. No kidding. How exciting. No, the whole point is we need to light them suckers off. Oh, sorry. Was that sucker a word you couldn't say? Maybe in your house that was one of the lists. I don't know. We think that's silly. Why buy them? Why, if you're not going to use them, if you're not going to use your words, why even think them? A word that you just think about, it's there and it's gone. There and it's gone. There and it's gone. There's one other verse. I think I skipped over it. 2 Timothy 2:3. The Apostle Paul said, join me with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You go, I don't like that verse either. Well, suffering there is a reference to two things. Suffering persecution from other people and suffering saying no to what your flesh wants. You ever said no to yourself and found out what a whiny baby you were? Yeah. Jesus was persecuted and suffered persecution and saying no to self. He wasn't sick. There was no part of him that was the sick part of him. It didn't happen. People want credit for suffering in heaven. And I'll close with this illustration. There's a friend of mine from 40 years ago decided that she got a lot of attention by being sick. You've never done that, so don't raise your hands. And so her life would deteriorate to the point where she's finally in a wheelchair. Oh, she can walk, but the wheelchair got way more attention than walking around. And so she would have an entourage of friends and family gathered around her to help her through her disability. And she claimed to be suffering for Jesus. And she goes on Facebook and tells how much she's suffering for Jesus and how hard it is on her husband, but he's there helping her all the way. And she wants to renew her marriage vows with him as he pushes her down the aisle in her wheelchair. But she can walk. She suffered for Jesus the better part of the last 40 years. She's expecting this massive reward when she gets to heaven for suffering. She's going to show up and go, where's my treasure? And they go, there isn't any. I suffered all those years for Christ. She didn't suffer for Christ. Well, yeah, but she was sick and she hurt, and that ought to count for something. Counts for nothing. That's not the suffering that is talked about here. Persecution, when other people say or do things against you with their free moral agency as an act of their will, they do things that do you damage, that cause losses in your life, or saying no to your flesh, no matter what it wants, you decide what it's going to do. You tell it what to do. It doesn't tell you what to do. That's suffering. That's the kind of suffering. So the redefining of it is like, well, anytime I have a pain in my body, I must be getting credit in heaven for something. Based on what verse? Well, I'm suffering. That's not the suffering that's listed here. Christ came so that you'd be freed by his stripes. I mean, anybody think I should be given credit for suffering as an unbeliever? I should be given credit for that. As I know, you need to be saved. I should be getting credit for everything I've gone through. Well, some of them are boneheaded decisions. And you made choices and it cost you the loss, and you weren't suffering for Jesus. Suffering for Jesus is when you obey his word and other people go, whoa, not going to have that around here. Suffering for Jesus, saying no to self and yes to others, that's called love. But this girl in the wheelchair, what I feel bad about is that she has redefined, she has made a pretension that because I'm going through stuff needlessly, that it's got to count. God didn't tell her, now I want you to get sick and sit in that wheelchair. But the church that we came out of taught that God did those kind of things. And because she believed that without any scripture, that God was the bad guy. We were into the church and they said, healings of the devil. Healings of the devil. Those spiritual gifts are of the devil. God makes you sick to teach you something. And I said, I got it now. God makes you sick and the devil heals you. I got it. Makes sense, right? God makes you sick and the devil heals you. Well, we've gotten to that point in that church where everybody believed that. Healings of the devil. God did this for a reason. After a while, I'm going, what is going on? Huh? And so we had to do this complete reversal about where the sickness is of the devil. And healing was of God. That was a complete reversal. Well, how did your church get to be that way? There's lots of churches that believe that. God's the good guy. God is good. The devil's bad. Okay. I'm not trying to trick you. Okay. Okay. So the suffering like a good soldier. I know that the people that have been in the military, from day one when you stepped in, get out and give me 25 push-ups or what? Sit-ups, whatever. Now, in boot camp, while they were cleaning the barracks, I slid under my bunk, slid up against the locker, pulled my knees up, and slept. I got away with it for months. Near the end of boot camp, somebody spotted me, pulled me out. The drill sergeant came. And everybody came. Come on! They'd never seen Sisk do anything. So they all wanted to gather and watch this. I'm laughing, but the drill sergeant is, you know, making me do all these. It was push-ups at that time we had to do, but making me do all that stuff. And after it was done, everybody left. And I walked up to the drill sergeant, and I said, what would you have done if I hadn't done the push-ups? And he said, what could I do? You're going to do what you're going to do. That wasn't what I expected. I thought he was going to jump on my case and threaten me. At that point in time, I realized, wow, my power to do or not to do, or his power to make me do or not to do, it was a reality right then. He didn't jump my case. He said, you're going to do them or you're not. That's the way God works. What are you going to do, God? Make me? You're going to do it or not. Bless God. We've got a great God. I like his system. But his system includes speaking what you believe, or you'll think, you'll live in your thoughts and be very disappointed. Well, this is some kind of a rule. Make it a rule. get away and speak out loud. Get used to hearing your voice. I suppose when Jesus got away from the whole crowd and the disciples and went up in the mountain, he got up there and silently prayed. You think Jesus opened his mouth? Well, why would he talk out loud? Because he's talking to somebody. Well, in closing, I'd like all of us to sing inside of our head. What song shall we think about? Everybody's singing a different song, aren't they? That won't work either. Bless God. Oh, well. Praise God. You got it this morning? That's the Holy Spirit lesson, as confirmed by prophecy for us today. You make one little change, and you have this different life. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Your word is true. We declare it before you that the words that you spoke by the Holy Spirit this morning and your holy written word are applied to our life. We will be doers of the word and not just thinkers. In Jesus' name, amen.